Christ in our lives, and light our lives in Christ. Abi? Abi? We said the first three chapters, will be Christ in our lives, what he has done for us, and the last three chapters in Ephesians, as though it was intentional, really, because it's not. he didn't write it in chapters, so you can't say, he said the first three chapters, the last three chapters. Paul is not that dramatic. He doesn't have time. So again, we said, Christ in our lives, and the lives in Christ. So we start from Isaiah 6, yeah? Verse 8, where Isaiah saw a vision, where Isaiah saw the vision, and then he said the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Right? Can you all hear me? Yeah. The year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And we saw that, I think we have established that one, that nobody has to die before you see God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's not your miracle. So nobody's blocking your miracle. Nobody's blocking your blessing. Like many people have said, we are even going to see the blessing today. So again, nobody's blocking your blessings. Nobody's blocking your miracles. So nobody has to die before you see the Lord. We've seen all of the scriptures, and we saw that people didn't die. People didn't have to die. Even Pharaoh saw God. Just in another sense, he didn't die. See you. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, is it God that not keep you? Just don't do what he did. Hallelujah. Oh, bananas, my prayer. Are you planning to lie? What was your plan exactly? Why did your path cross that scripture? Why are you interested? It's just for knowledge. Well, it's fine. It is for knowledge. God did not. But I wonder why you are so keen on whether God can kill. Hallelujah. So we said, our conclusion from Isaiah 6:8, yeah, Mike, send me. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Right? Who will tell the people of Israel that you are not listening? And we said the conclusion of the matter is that God speaks. You don't have to say all of that. God speaks through men. So, some folks are waiting on the mountain. They're waiting on the mountain. I recall one particular brother like that. Some years ago, he said he wanted to hear God. The funny thing is that God already sent a brother in our fellowship. We used to have a fellowship like that. It was not... we have this idea of church and fellowship. But church is anywhere saints are gathered. That's organized structure. That's a leadership. That's church. Whether you think you are from different churches. And then you gather together. There's a leadership. That's church. It's just for the sake of organization. We call it cell. It's actually a church on its own. And the cell leader is the pastor. Okay? So we have that church. That's where we hold it under the staircase. To one redeemed church, King's Parish, was a son. And so, I was one of the folks who were in charge leading the fellowship. I preached. He told it every Wednesday evening. And so this brother was, I know he was waiting on God, but someone already had a word of wisdom for him. And the person came to me by the well. He's have a well like that, very close to the place. And he finally can see it. So we sit on that well when we are done. So the brother walked up to me and said, he has a message for so, so and so. You are well taught. You don't just go to someone in church and say, I have a message for you. You go to the person's cell leader. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's the proper structure. You go to the leadership. You tell the leadership, this is what I have. You don't have to show. If it's about Jesus and edification, there's nothing about you, then you don't have to shine. Hallelujah. You have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You walk to this, except it's a believer's meeting, where we have the corporate flow of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Where we are allowing the Holy Ghost to take over. But that's the teaching I will teach very soon. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Amen. As we prepare for believer's meeting. But apart from that, that kind of meeting, what you do is walk up. It's the same thing with giving. When you want to give someone something in the church, you go to the leader. Is it making sense? And that's what the apostles in the book of Acts called laying all at the apostles' feet. He sold all his land.
He sold his land and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Not that they were putting the gift at the apostles' feet. No. It's the same thing you have with discipleship, right? When you say someone is at your feet, it means the person is subjected to you. The person is submitted to you. So when you say they laid it at the apostles' feet, what you're saying is they put that gift in the apostles' charge. Does that make sense? They did not distribute it themselves. And that was the culture of the early church. You know, you want to give someone something, you take it to the cell leader or the pastor, and then you give it to the pastor, and then the pastor now distributes it as needed for every man. Make sense? Because there are some people you think need something and they don't need it. What they need is to go and work. And that's what Paul was trying to teach in Ephesians. Let him that steals no more. Let him go work with his hands so that he might have to give also. There are some people you feel, think about the leadership I've been speaking to him to work. But he wants to watch Netflix all day. You get? And so you want to give him something. Leadership has the right to withhold that for a while and ensure that he follows the instructions and then give. Or give to another person who is in their need. Does it make sense? Does that make sense? How did I get there? So the brother walked up to me and he said everything that God told him about the other brother. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll tell him. And I told him, he said, oh wow, beautiful. And I was surprised that the next day he went to pray upstairs. The church is upstairs. We use the staircase. We don't use this at the church. We went to pray and I asked him, what are you praying about? He said, I'm praying about that thing. I said, but I told you what this brother said. And I also had a confirmation. That means you have two witnesses of the Spirit. Are we? Yeah? We taught that in the leading of the Spirit, right? Obeying the leading of the Spirit, where you have to have a witness to the leading of the Spirit. And I told you, I'm the witness, he's the witness. What are you praying about? When you pray about what you already have a clear direction of, you want to be misled. Because you don't seek light when you have light. When you have light and you seek light, you're looking for darkness. Hallelujah. You're looking for darkness. And so I told him, I said, what are you looking for? He said, I just want to hear God myself. I said, God speaks through men. Hallelujah. That's why I said, that's why I told you the story. God talks through men. So, he told Isaiah, will you go for us? He said, here am I, send me. Send me. And we have looked at that. We've seen Paul as a man, and his sufficient authority to explain the scriptures, right? Right? And again, unlike what the Judaizers taught the Galatians, which we are already seeing on Sundays, right? Unlike what the Judaizers taught the Galatians, Paul actually taught Christ. Because when you say someone is a witness means he has been given what to say. There's no witness that speaks what he likes. Or that speaks on his own accord. A witness has been given what to say. Just the same way you have a natural, right? Someone, an accident happens, right? And then you say, who is the witness? And he said, Bimbola is the witness. Or Juela. And then Bimbola comes. Sorry, your name is not Juela. Bimbola comes and says, in this court, I know what I saw, but me, I want to say my own. You should not have eaten with the car. But me, I think that, I don't think he applied brake. Because if he applied brake, no. A witness is not called to say rubbish. You will say what happened. What I saw. The car was coming. A blue car. Right? The lady wanted to cross. There's a zebra crossing. The traffic light was on red. But yet the car crossed. The car kept moving. Right? Even though there's a zebra crossing and the traffic light said red. Right? So, the judge now says, is it true? Right? To the accused, is it true the traffic light was on red? Then he says, no, my lord. He says, witness, is it true? He says, yes. Another witness, yes. Are you getting it? The witness is going to say, me, I don't even know color of traffic. The first put green. But sometimes the traffic light puts purple. Was he on red? Hallelujah. So, by saying Paul, Jesus called Paul to be a witness, it means he has a message to say. And I think our teachings on Sunday already covers much of that. How that Paul himself taught Jesus' teaching. Nothing more, nothing less.
Nothing more, nothing less.
He basically taught what Jesus taught. Probably in more elaborate terms, probably more culture specific, or culture, or he elucidated it better based on the Gentile culture. But then he taught what Jesus taught. Amen. Amen. We'll see all of that later.
So we've seen Paul as an authority. Have we?
Let me just say this. I should have said this from the track one. Let go. That we are doing a verse by verse study. A bit of a book. Why didn't I go with topical studies? I just want us to do a book by book study.
Really.
Because there are different advantages of different kind of studies. You know, you can study by character, which I really don't advise. I don't advise that. Where people study Abraham as it were as a personality. But rather than study Abraham, you should do a topical study. And study the call of God, or you study righteousness by faith. That's more, that's smarter. That's a smarter way to go by it than study Abraham. So there's character study, there's topical study, there's book study, where you study a particular book. But what would be the advantage of book by book study over character study? Or over topical study? What would be the advantage? Number one, it promotes biblical literacy. Biblical literacy. In such a way that you can now, appreciate, characters, you can now appreciate events better. How many of you, when we're studying Galatians, how many of you saw that better? Even Ephesians, right? Come on, let me see this. How we went through those places one by one. I said, this is when he came to Ephesus. This is when he left Ephesus. This is, you know, there's a way that helps you. Right? This is when Paul taught this in Antioch. He first went to Ephesus. Then he left Ephesus. He left Aquila and Priscilla there, right? And then Aquila and Priscilla met Apollos. You know, by the time you now get to Ephesus, or you are reading even Corinthians and you see Apollos, you know, biblical literacy has been enhanced. You now know where Apollos was first mentioned. Right? You now say, okay. And I mentioned the one Demetrius. You know, silversmith, okay. So what book by book study does is that it promotes biblical literacy on all grounds. It also helps to keep the text in context. In such a way that you cannot now bring a statement out of context. Why? We are reading the book. You know, it's easy for people to just say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And they just run away. With Philippians 4:19. Oh, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Yeah, you can marry. You can born. You can, what again? Talk to me. What else can you do through Christ? You can, buy a car. You can be the biggest person. You can be number one on Forbes list. I doubt that really. But are you now thinking low of me? My prayer is even that you are number one. So it keeps the text on there. So you can't just run away with Philippians 4:19. You will have to read from Philippians chapter 1. By the time you get to chapter 4, sense will have fallen on you. You cannot now say you can do all things. You will have seen what Paul is saying. You have seen that these people are in persecution, right? Then Paul is telling them to rejoice. Then he tells them, let this mind be in you. That is, even in these strange times, you must not be concerned just about yourself alone. Everyone must esteem the other better than themselves, right? Let this mind be in you who was also in Christ Jesus. Then it says, walk out for salvation. You must have seen all of that. You must have seen chapter 3, where it talks about how that he by the law is of all men, but he counts them as dumb to fall for the knowledge of, for excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You must have seen all of that. You must have seen chapter 4, and then you must have seen chapter 4 verse 4, where it says, rejoice always, and then you come to, I can do all things. You would not think that it's talking about, you can buy a car. Because you have read everything in context. So what book by book study does for you is that it disciplines you to stay within the context. You can't run away because you have to read everything. And so it also helps you to appreciate writing styles. So it will stretch you. It helps you to appreciate writing styles, genre, how you call it? G-E-N-R-E. G-E-N-R-E. It helps you appreciate the kind of writing that the person is, hallelujah. Uh-huh. The tone, the style, the imagery, the Yes, style of the writer. Now, if you have been following well with what we're doing, you observe that Galatians is way totally different from Ephesians. Totally. You know, from the background of the story, Ephesians looks seamless. You know, we are just serving God. We are just born again. We are just learning. Galatians is not like that. Galatians is, this is war. It's the war of the soul. Right? Galatians is, legalism is pulling, and the gospel of grace is also pulling. Right? That's Galatians. But Ephesians appears, and right from it, so, if I'm studying book by book, what I will do is that I will appreciate the tone, I will appreciate the style, I will appreciate the color, you know, of the writer, of the book, of the message. Alright, so, again, also, what book by book study does for you is that it helps us deal with a wide variety of issues. A wide variety of issues. For example, in Galatians, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, right? And you're going to see the work of grace. You're going to see Paul's authentication as an apostle. You're going to see, what else? No, in Ephesians, you're going to see the blessing of God. You're going to see what Christ did in his death, right? You're going to see what the believer has today. You're going to see the unity in the church. You're going to see baptism in Ephesians. You're going to see conduct in chapter 5. In chapter 6, you're going to see spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. So, again, it helps you appreciate a wide variety of issues. And that's what book by book study does for you. Alright, that's that. I'll continue that in some other time. And so we are on track. We have seen the theme of Ephesians, right? What we have been able to highlight? Baptism? Where we saw that Acts 19 experience with the disciples of John. Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost since you believed? When Paul came to Ephesus again, and he met certain disciples, Acts 19:1, and he asked them, have you been baptized? They said, have you baptized with the Holy Ghost? They said, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, and then unto what baptism were you baptized? And he said, the baptism of John. And he said, very, very, I say unto you that John very preached the baptism of repentance, that you should believe on him that he spoke about. And then, so we see the theme of Ephesians or Ephesus. Paul's message in Ephesus will include baptism. And I already explained two kinds of baptism, right? We have a teaching on that, two kinds of baptism. Where we look at what Peter said about baptism. One that what? Gives away with the filth of the flesh. 1 Peter 3:21. And then the other what? That, the one that comes by the resurrection, by the answer of a pure conscience, the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. So we see two kinds of baptism. You can go listen to the teaching, it's going to bless you. Alright, so we said baptism, what other thing? Unity! We saw Aquila and Priscilla and what they dealt, how they dealt with, Apollos. How they dealt, now, dealing with someone doesn't mean it's always, negative, right? How they dealt with it in, alright? What else did we see in Ephesians? Ministry gifts, right? We saw how that Paul, focused more on what? The teaching ministry. In Ephesians. Alright, what else? Spiritual warfare, literally. Alright. Because it's warfare concept that drew Paul out of Ephesus. Alright. So, that said, we start Ephesians 1:1 now. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Of course, we have explained all of that in Galatians. I don't know how I would do this, but I already forewarned, right? That what I'm going to do is, because it's the same author, I explained to you that's the importance of knowing the author of the book. That because it's the same author, what we are going to be doing is we're going to be a lot of cross, I'm going to say cross dresser, a lot of cross, cross study. Even when we get to Thessalonica and, Philippi, we are still going to quote Ephesians, bring in Galatians. That makes sense? So, because it's the same author, it's just a pack, it's a series. Everything we are doing, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, is one series. That makes sense? That's Paul. Then we'll now do Peter. James. Hallelujah. So we already explained in Galatians for an apostle by the will of God, right? We saw why he would keep emphasizing that. He's speaking to a Gentile nation, a church that is away from Jerusalem, who might not as well have seen him being ordained or being accepted by the 12, right? So they might not have seen him being, like we saw in Galatians 2, 7 to 9, that the 12 extended the right hand of fellowship, right? Represented by whom? Peter, James, and John. No, ma. You don't have to think about it. Peter, James, and John, they extended right hand of fellowship to Paul. So again, because he's speaking to a Gentile nation, they might not be aware. So again, he has to stand his ground and demand an hearing on the ground of being an apostle. So Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To what? To the saints, Ephesians 1:1, which are at Ephesus. The saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And we saw that Paul called almost every church he taught saints. Save Galatians, and maybe first Thessalonians. I'm not sure. I'm right. So, just the saints in Galatians and saints in first Thessalonians. The first letter of Thessalonians didn't call them saints. I don't know why. But Galatians, I might understand why. And we are dealing with greater issues than being saints. Alright, so, but we saw that the saints of God are in the church of God. That's Ephesians for you. To the saints that Ephesus, you know, sometimes we just have this belief system and the ideology that saints are dead folks. Right? People that you see their status. Saint Paul. Saint Margaret. Saint Martha. Saint Mamoko. Alright, so, you know that, how do you know Saint Mamoko? Alright, so again, saints are the folks in church. So again, it says to the saints, and we look at the word saints, right? From Genesis, in the Greek tongue, it is what? Agios, H-A-G-I-O-S, which means to what? To be holy, to be separated, to be consecrated, to be sanctified, you know, to be holy. And then, in the Hebrew tongue, we are able to see that is what? Huh? Kodesh, yeah. Desh. Kodesh. We're sorry, from Genesis 2, right? Where God sanctified the seventh day. Actually, that word is God made the seventh day holy. We have seen that last week. God made the seventh day holy. I also saw the burning bush, Exodus 3, right? Exodus 3:15. The burning bush. Come on, you saw that? And then, what was God's pronouncement to Moses? The ground, take off your shoes. For the ground which you are on is what? It's a holy ground. So again, and we said, what did the ground do to be holy? How about the bread in the temple that was called holy bread? You saw that last week, Abby. Why, what has the bread done? Was baked by God. Alright, so, your cake is holy. So, so what has the bread done to be holy? Nothing. 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 We were able to see from the scripture, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that holiness is what? Conferred. Right? Holiness is pronounced. You don't do anything to be holy. The ground, the priest's robe is called holy. The king's crown is called holy. The temple is called holy. What else did they call holy? The hill, right? On God's holy hill or God's holy mountain. What has he done to be holy? Nothing. In fact, calling God holy is also pronounced. We call them holy. We call them separated. We call them sanctified. Hallelujah. Again, so it's just normal English. If I say you are holy, that is, probably I have a ton of friends and you know, I think everybody has that. So you have many friends and then there's just one person that everybody regards. You know, everybody just, you know, you just call him holy. You know, even though you are friends, you know. So, in that sense, by respecting the person separately, by all your other friends, you can punch them. You know, you can, you, and the other person will say, let's stop all this first time. It's because of, you know, you can't play that kind of play with him. Everybody start looking at you and say, ah, when did you guys become this Now, your friends, your good friends, my friends are, some of my friends are like that. Crazy guys. You know, because most of the pastors. So there's a way, there's a level of play. Even though we can play well. Alright. So, holiness is conferred. In fact, in the Old Testament, they called God holy because they wanted him to be separate. And that's why I heard one preacher one time said, that in the New Testament we don't call God holy. That because holiness, listen very well to what I'm saying, that because holiness in the Old Testament was because God was far away from them, but now God is in. We can't say he's separate. Now I understand where it's coming from as well. It's wrong. In the sense that God is holy. Yeah. You are great. You have, you do me like it's okay. You have made us just like you. I've sung that before. In fact, I've taught the church to correct that before, not this church. But really, there is no one else like you. Are you like him? That's the reason why we in this world. How? You, can you live in me and live in her? Do I make it easy? You can. So there's really no one else like him. God is Spirit. Hallelujah. He's the one that died for sins. That alone separates him from us. We are the recipient of his grace. He is the one that gives the grace. Hallelujah. Don't learn Bible to your own detriment. You know too much of Bible. God is holy. Hallelujah. Say God is holy. Alright, so, adios. Saints. So then, we have a teaching, saints with a sinner problem. You appreciate what it means to be saint, in that teaching. And we saw it that he called the church in Corinth, saint. Corinth. If he had called Ephesians saint, like he did, I just say, who else would be saint? Corinth! You know my accolade for them? Corinthians, Paul's troubled church. That's what I call it. And Ephesians, we have Christ in our lives and lives in Christ. See what I call Corinthians. Paul's troubled church. No other church was close. This church had all the trouble you can think of. Fight, pride, everything every other church has one. They brought it together. Hallelujah. And it's normal when you think of it like Corinth was there's no culture in Corinth. It's like Lagos. I think I explained that in the sense of the sinner problem, right? It's like Lagos where you have different tribes and different culture in one place. And when you have that kind of population and that kind of community, see what I'm doing, book by book study. See what it's making you do. Appreciate. So, when you have that kind of community where there's no particular culture or tribe, you have a lot of greed. You have a lot of lust of the flesh. Right? Yes, normal, because there's nobody saying this is the culture here. For example, if you go to Ibadan, there are some things you will not do. Because of the Yoruba culture, it's quite high there. If you go to Kano, you are confined to act in a particular way, no matter how liberal you are. Does it make sense? No matter how liberal you are, you can't go on the streets of Kano and you are sagging. Today we are talking about in office and something in Unilorin that even students, you know, they use their hijab. Even if outside campus, they will not use it. But because they are in the campus and it's in the Unilorin Kwara State, you go and walk apart. You know, you have to now use that hijab and all. But you see in Lagos, they even discourage you in Unilag. Why are you using hijab? Are you hiding answers? You get. So when you're coming to clinic, or you're doing your final course, your professional exam, they probably tell you to remove the hijab. Say, what are you hiding there? See the two culture. Because one is a state without a culture, and one already has a tradition they follow. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So you expect that in Corinth, but then with the way sin was in high esteem in Corinth, Paul said to the saints in Corinth, he's about to correct them. They had division. They had a church was scattered. The church said, Pastor David is my pastor. And that one says, Pastor Muyo. Hallelujah. And the church said, ah! I don't like Pastor Wello.
Pastor Michael, like,
I didn't know, I just like him from his haircut. Actually, really, that was their problem in Corinth. Their issue was not even doctrine. You know, you have a stage in the flesh. You have left doctrine. The issue is not even doctrine. Doctrine aside, Bible aside. In fact, let's even leave the Bible aside. That's Corinth. Amen. But with all of that, Paul says to the saints in Corinth. Hallelujah. So sainthood is beyond conduct. Even though conduct is part of our faith, conduct is part of our worship of God. But see, the sainthood is separate from conduct. If it's with conduct, Corinth will be called anti-saint. So again, we saw it from Genesis, that is a status conferred upon you by another. You literally don't do anything to be called a saint. Right? To be called holy, to be called separated. In fact, the highest mention you find, or the highest frequency of the same occurrence of sainthood or holiness that you find is because God is there. So those things were called holy because God is there. The ground, because God is on that ground. Every other day, that ground will not be holy. Every other day. But because God is on that ground, talking to Moses, giving a special assignment, that ground will be called holy. Because God is in his temple, and that's where the worship of God is done, that temple will be called holy. Because the bread was sacrificed to the Levites, right? Was given to the Levites who were serving God, that will be called holy. You literally don't do anything. And don't come at me with 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 where it says, be holy for you. I, your God, am holy. Because that is Leviticus. That's Leviticus 11:44. Be holy for God is holy. And what is he telling me? Book by book study. When you say Leviticus, what are you saying? What's the theme of Leviticus? Priesthood and service. Shake bembem. Pastor, we should remember. Alright, so, when you say Leviticus, Leviticus means service. Levites. Those who have separated themselves. Does that speak holiness? Those who have separated themselves from the 12 tribes of Israel to serve in the temple. So, what else will you tell them apart from holy? And so when you say, be holy for I, your Lord, and holy, again, that's also what God told Abraham. Be holy. Walk before me and be holy. Be perfect. You know. Actually, in that Levitical word, in the Hebrew tongue, really, it's actually, you will be holy. But let's leave that before they say I'm changing Bible. But if you read it in the Hebrew song, it's you will be holy. And that was when you now gave them the commandments. Alright. Again. That's what Peter will now put in the 1 Peter 1:15-16. And then in chapter 2, we now say, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, who has been called out of darkness. That's separated, right? That's holiness. It's not a biggie. You have been called, you have been separated. That's what happened to Abraham. Holiness. Separation. Holiness means there are 7 days. The seventh day is separated. Does it make sense? There are several breads. But this loaf is holy. Does it make sense? That doesn't say bread. There are several loaves. But this particular loaf is holy. Does it make sense? There are several buildings. But this one is holy. It is the temple of Yahweh. Alright. So that's the sainthood. Let's read the Ephesians 1. That's 2 now. Grace be to you. And peace from God our Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you. I won't struggle to explain that here now. You can go listen to Galatians. We'll explain grace to you. Right? Because Galatians actually is the gospel of grace. In fact, that's did I not say it? That Martin Luther King, that's what he calls the scripture of liberty. But he says, Galatians is like his wife. He said, because I wake up to see it every day. And that's where he brought in Christian liberty and he started preaching the gospel of grace, Martin Luther King. Again, Galatians is the gospel of grace. So I explained that in Galatians, not Ephesians. But we saw that Paul said this same message to all the churches. Romans 1:7, grace be to you,
He said it in the Galatians, he said it in the Corinthians, he said it in Ephesus, he said it in Philippi, in Thessalonica, he said it in Colossae, he said it in fact, he said it to even individuals. Grace be to you. And peace from God the Father. Then we go on Ephesians 1:3. So let's move on to what we have to say today. Ephesians 1:3. Can we read 3 together? Better be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God. Blessed be God and the Father. And so, again, let me just point that out. I've said this in many teachings. Like, I know that "and" does not always mean two things. Does not always mean A and B. Look at what you just did now. Blessed be God and the Father. Is he talking about two people or one person? Eh? One person. So again, that's Bible literature. So sometimes, and you see, that's where Greek comes in. That's where the Greek word comes in. So sometimes when we say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. And then someone comes and says, why would he put "and"? It's not three different things. Are you thinking at all? Are you thinking at all? Blessed be God and the Father. Do we have a God that is separate from the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, one and the same person. One and the same person. So again, that word "and" is not always conjunctory, as it were. Let's just use that. I don't know if that exists. It's not always used as a conjunction. Sometimes used as an explanation. Blessed be God, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, and you find that in the Old Testament too, they use the word "even." Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something like that. That makes sense? So, you can't always just say one word means the same thing every time. Sometimes you have to look at it properly in the context in which it was used. Alright, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's a lot to unravel in this verse. I'm going to pick it one by one. We're not going to finish it today. So we see Paul's terminology to Ephesians. He defines the blessing of God. Blessed be God. You know, it defeats the ideology that blessing means to make someone prosper. You know, oftentimes when you just hear, you know, people dance and sing, you say, as we dance, as we jump, woo! And God is pouring out his blessings upon us. Hallelujah! You watch Black American churches. You know, as we bless the Lord and praise his name, his blessing will shower us with his blessing. Shower Titus with his blessing. And what we are thinking, and many people go for praise night with the mind that I think God will bless me after this one. Because they say prayer moves the hand of God. Praises make God himself stand up from the throne. Which throne? See. Nobody go do come by you. Odo ma balo. Praise make his stand up from the throne. Very good for spirit. You have like three things needs to be sorted out in your sentence already. What makes a first preacher better than that? Prayer moves the hand of God. When praises go up, blessings come down. And but I've heard the preacher say, blessed be God who has blessed with spiritual blessing in every place. That the blessings are spiritual now. But you see, when you speak and you confess, what you are doing is you are converting like a Onshewu, like a bank, like a Usa. Like you have now. So you are combating the spiritual blessing to physical blessing. Now, see, the problem with the believer is not that he's not blessed. He is blessed in the spiritual. Hallelujah. I have all the spirit. I have all I need in the spiritual. Okay? But we need to tap it. We need to tap it. And when we tap it, we now tap it to the natural. We now start to see these blessings. So you see forgiveness of sin. Where? In your asset bank account. Like, you already, like every believer has an account.
just tell us that you don't like preaching.
Hallelujah.
Like the pastor that invited back EW to church to take the two services. Who could he say? See, you don't like preaching. Who will understand? And the person that invited now said, I was shocked. The preacher is shocked that he invited him to church. He said, hey, Abby, you are just showing me a video now. You know, he said, I think this verse is in it. I'm not sure. It's been a long time. That's the preacher that is preaching the two services. And some pastors are like that. You just see a verse in the Bible say, oh, well, on Sunday. Blessed be God, who has blessed us with a spiritual in heaven. Spiritual in heaven. What would they now do to bring it to the earth? Because it has to be in the earth. You know, in your mind, heaven is just far. Why would he be in heaven? Why are they going to put it in heaven now? How this blessing will take come earth now? Oh, speaking. So, you know what I'm saying? I can never be poor. Okay, you are already poor. This one is like, I can never be. By rating, Nigeria is one of the poorest nations in the world, even though the poverty capital of the world. And you are now confessing that poverty capital that can never be poor. We all. Like she said before, we all. Okay? Shh. You see that someone used the Dangote's network to buy Bitcoin? Bitcoin. I mean, it feels like if it crashes, it's crash. And that's the richest man in Africa. You are not saying, even that way, there's nothing I can never be poor. He's saying, I want to be rich. But you know, when you have been falsely taught the Bible, you have this egoistic, stupid manners. I can never be poor. The blessings of Christ are upon me. Yes, that's true. But the blessing of Christ is not a Bugatti. Christ himself does not, will not, should not have a Bugatti. He doesn't. Hallelujah. So we need to define blessing. And Paul helped us in Ephesians. When he was calm. A church where he was calm. He helped us to see the blessing of God. So it says, blessed be God. And so it defeats the ideology of blessing means that I'm empowering you to prosper. So if someone says, bless you, sometimes you think, you say, that guy is blessed though. He's blessed though. Is that you're saying he has money? Or he has talents? Right? Right? But when we say blessed be God, what does he have? Which one? Money? Or we say, we are going to give money to God. I don't say, let me bless you. I remember one of my uncles used to say that. Say, let me bless you. And the count, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. Can you call bless, 2K blessing? 6 months. There was money then though. They're giving you like 7K now or something. Or like 10K. But that's blessing. That's too much of it. As too much you have quoted your blessing too much. So he said, let me bless you. And so we think that blessing means I'm going to empower you to prosper. But that defeats the entire doctrine, falls flat in the eyes of the Ephesians when Paul says, blessed be God. That God is blessed. How is God blessed? I thought he's the one giving the blessing. He said, blessed be God. That is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath blessed us? Who? So, blessed be God. That's the word eulogesis. E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. Eulogetos. E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. It means to adore. To adore something. The way you adore your wife. Remember that? Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, how about you? I mean to. Yeah, I adore my wife. Are you now okay? God bless you. So, again, blessings have been misrepresented these days. Like, let me show you where I wrote it here. Like, to give you money, give you car, give you house, you know. But that's not what Paul is saying. Again, this bless you is taken from that Moses' blessing again. Because you must find it in Moses. In Numbers chapter 6, which we have already seen in Galatians. But let me see. Numbers chapter 6. God bless you. Or, blessed be God who has blessed us. You there? Leviticus, drop back 6. Numbers chapter 6 verse 22. We're going to read from verse 22 to verse 26. Are you there? Want to go? The Lord spoke unto Moses saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son saying, from this while you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And see verse 26. You sure don't like anything that has to do with listening. See verse 26. Alright, so he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. He will make his face shine upon you. And we saw the face of God in Christ, in his salvation. That's where we see the face of God. Right? Right? We beheld his glory. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Uh-huh. So, it's in salvation, in the giving of God, or in the giving of his Son, that's where you see God's face. For no man has seen his face at any time. I'm still going in that John chapter 1, right? I just read John chapter 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh, dwelt among men, eh? Dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The doxa, his way. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But what did we see about his glory? He's full of grace. He's a giving God. He's full of grace and the truth. Fine. In verse 18, he now says, no man has seen God at any time. Except who? The begotten. Who is where? In the bosom of the Father, the co-bosom of the Father. Only him has declared him. Expounded, right? Exegomai. Fine. So, again, it's in Christ that we see the face of God. No man has seen God at any time. Till Christ came and died for sin. The grace, right? See what I'm doing? I'm bringing Galatians and Ephesians together. Till he died for sins, which is his grace, we did not see the face of God. But God told Aaron, of course, through Moses, that you will now tell Israel, God will bless you. What is his blessing? He will keep you. And you will see his face. Is it that God will answer them and say, hiya, God. Hey, Israel. God is here. God is home. No. How will they see God's face? The psalmist will say, I have seen your face, your salvation. Hallelujah. So, the face of God is in his grace. So when Moses said that, that would be as, is it in their present tense or as a futuristic statement? Eh? Eh? Did they see God's face, Israel? But they will, which the church of Christ today, the Israel of God, have seen his face. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? We have seen his face. We have seen his face. So, God will keep you. He will make his face shine upon you. That's his salvation. He will be gracious to you. Gracious to you means he will what? Is that John 3:16? Eh? He will give his only son. Who will die for sin? He will be gracious to you. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the love of God. I can't already assume that. Now. Yeah, right. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. John 3:16. The fact that God loved the world made him give his son. That's the grace. So, that Moses' blessing in Numbers 6 is going to happen. But for the church in Ephesus, is it going to happen? It has happened to them. So he now says, he has blessed you. How did he bless them? If you are going to go by Moses' standard, and you are going to do what Amplify used to do. In Amplify version, there's a bless, you now put in, you now put in, put a bracket. Forgive it. Now close it. So, so the church in Ephesus, are they going to be blessed or they are blessed? Why? They've seen the face of God. Their sins have been forgiven. As God kept them. You know, Jesus in John 10, 28 said, the ones that you have given me, I will keep. No man can pluck them out of my hands, right? In fact, in Jude 24, he said, he's able to keep you from falling. Right? And so in, let's look, Jude. I like reading Jude because he only wrote one. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So, who keeps Christ? So when I say God keeps you, again, when I say he's able to, listen very well to this one, he's able to keep you from falling, it's not you falling. It's sincerely, let me just be sincere with you. The one that is able, I think I've talked this before. Now unto him that is able to keep you is the one that does not fall. And that word is actually fail, falter, to disappoint. So, he that is keeping you will not fall. Because if you say he's able to keep you from falling, that brings the idea that the believer can there's something like falling. There's nothing like falling, really. So that means there's no backsliding, pastor, there's backsliding. Moonwalk, gossip. Whatever you are doing before, and you're not doing again, it's called backsliding, whether in religious terms or in natural terms. If you used to play tennis actively before and then you stop, if you used to bake cake, you bake cakes and you don't bake again. When someone said, maybe you should bake for him, and once he says, now say you are not baking again, that's backsliding. You get the drift. So whatever you used to do before, so again, that's different from falling. Falling means you let an estate. That's what happens to the angels. You find that in Jude. You let. So again, can you see what book study we do? Because we have seen this thing. We have seen what falling means to the angels who left their estate. By the time he now says he's able to keep you from falling, I know that I cannot be a believer because that falling is irredeemable by Jude's word. You guys just said that. So I see what book by book study would do. Some people don't understand what I said. You understand the next 3 years. So, he that keeps you will not fall. So again, all in all, who keeps? The believer. Who keeps salvation? The believer or Christ? He keeps you. So when he said, my mother said, God will keep you. It will be in the future of Israel, but in the presence of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God is keeping us. He's keeping us. We are blessed of God. So, he said, blessed be God, which is what Elogetis, right? Elogetos, that we sing, Abid. Blessed be God, who has blessed us. He has blessed us. Elogio. Or eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. But observe, Moses' and Aaron's blessing to Israel, was it material or in words? Eh? Words. That means they didn't even see the blessing. Did they see the blessing? God will bless you. Look at what he calls the blessing. He will give you peace. Shalom. In the Hebrew form. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's shalom. Everything is in place. Nothing missing. He calls that the blessing of God. Is that what Paul will now call in Colossians 1:10? You are complete in Christ. You are the peace of God. Eh? Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing. Nothing shaking. Nothing. No shaking. That's the peace of God. So, Israel, did they see that blessing? They just heard it. God bless you. When Abraham was going to bless Isaac, what did he give Isaac? Nothing. Let me even let you know. Isaac did not even inherit cattle. And some of you are still here giving offering for Abraham's blessing. Even his son did not. Did not collect his physical. The blessing of Abraham was righteousness, eh? By faith. Have you? Romans 4, Galatians 3. Where Paul now says, blessed is the man in whom sin will not be what? Imputed against. That's the blessing of Abraham. So, when he blessed Isaac, It was with words. When Isaac blessed Jacob, and Esau was late, what did he give Jacob? Nothing, right? Nothing physical. In fact, it was Jacob that even brought the verses, right? I said, my father, take. He said, ah, who is this? He said, I'm Esau, your son. He said, Esau? He said, no, touch me, now touch me, father, touch me. You know, that's the touch point. That's the brand touch point. He said, touch me. And I said, ah, true. And the answer of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. Nevertheless, take the blessing. You will prosper. That's what he said. Your wheat shall grow. Your, in words. And we extend that blessing in spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Abi. So I'm exonerated. Alright, so again, the blessing was in words. So it says, blessed be God, who has blessed us. Eulogio, E-U-L-E-O-G-E-O. Used 44 times in the New Testament Greek. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. 44 times. It means to speak well of something. To invoke a benediction upon something. To speak well. To invoke a benediction. Let's look at the way it was used. In Matthew chapter 5. Blessed. Matthew 5. Is it? So, again, Paul opens his Ephesians account with the blessing. And I don't know how, my seventh brother, where we were discussing some days ago, how the Church of Christ came to this point. You know, if you even look at history wise, if you just backtrack a bit, and you look at the early church, even in Africa and Nigeria, and the songs they sang, the hymns we met, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the happy hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. But it appears like things have changed. We are now, for the things he will do, he will bless us. He's a Christian, called Christian Rafa. I'm not a on issue with rap. So, he don't give me money, he don't give me house. You look like what you see. Really? Only a white epileptic. You don't give me, and now I shine, I reign in life. If you are truly reigning in life, you'll not be in this studio. Some people that are reigning in life. They're reigning in life, some people they are reigning in life and they are beating them. That's leaning life. Because it's opposite of the way the king of this world moves. I'm leaning life. The king comes, God don't bless me. See my bling bling. Things have just changed. Songs have changed. Someone is thinking, I want more of you. If you go into his head and see what he wants more, you'd be surprised that you sing the same song. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. Because if he knows him, better. Give him more. Sometimes I think, I want more. More of what you do. Isn't it? Oh, indeed. More of what you give. And what he's thinking about, God is going to give him money. And so, we have misappropriated the blessing of God. We think it's something we are going to touch and feel. Paul is correcting that. Hallelujah. He's correcting that. Blessed be God. Who has blessed us? If you are in the church in Corinth and you are a new convert, and you are not welcome, is it? He has blessed us. Where? Where? There's a reason people ask questions. Where's your... You can confess your needs, amen. So, he says, God has blessed us. So we said, let's look at the word elogio, right? Matthew chapter 5. Ha! I'm already in Amos. Hey. Matthew 5 verse 44. Let's have verse 43. We follow 43 and 44 together. Everybody, want to go?
Yes.
You have, everybody, want to go?
Yes.
You have heard it as we have said. Love thou your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and persecute you. You know, say, love your, bless them that curse you. Is it saying you give them money? So how do you bless the one that curse you? Eh? Because curse is in words. So how will I bless you rather than curse you back? What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak well of you. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. So, well, you said, hey, he's a stupid person. He's a, what I'm going to say is, you know you're lovely and beautiful. I recall someone in my secondary school, Ijilade. Someone, he used to call him Hallelujah. He was like me, our trousers used to be here. Our shorts. He used to call him Hallelujah because whatever you greet him with, he just say Hallelujah. It's a good morning, no? It's Hallelujah. If I wanted to answer questions, before that mass class on it, you guys would say, Hallelujah. So we started calling him Hallelujah. And so one day, someone spoke against him and said some very terrible thing. And he said something that I will never forget. Now this is way over a decade. Way over a decade. He said, may God heal you of this thought that is making you talk to me like this. I thought that was deep. Someone is abusing him, said, may God heal you. I pray healing for you. Because you must have been hurt deeply to be talking to me like this. I've not forgotten. This is over 13 years. I still remember like the back of my heart. That's how to bless them. So they're cursing you, but you're going to speak well. There's nothing in that verse that says you're going to give them money. Oh, bless them, bless them. Oh, no. The blessing is in words. You will say to the children of Israel, you will bless them, saying, number 622, you will bless them, saying. Alright, that's Matthew 5, are they? Matthew 14, Elogio, verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took 5 loaves, and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and disciples to the multitude. He blessed and broke. Again, the book of John helps us to see what he did properly. He said something. He said, Father, I'm doing this for the sake of those here, right? He said something, but Matthew will put that as, he blessed it. He invoked a benediction on it. Okay? He invoked a benediction on it. Fine. So that's what it means to bless. Oftentimes it's always in words, what is said. In Matthew 21, verse 9. Now this is Jesus' triumphant entry when he entered Jerusalem. And the multitude went before and followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That is, we adore, or we speak well, we lift up, we bless, the one that comes in the name of the Lord. That makes sense? They're not going to give him money, they're not going to do anything for him. They're not going to inspire him to prosper financially. They are just going to lay down their selves, honor him, and speak well of him. Hallelujah. Hosanna. And that's their blessing, actually. You will save us. They are speaking well of him as the Savior. Okay? But let's leave other mentions. Let's go to Paul's books himself. Romans 12. Learn something? In Romans 12, Verse 14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Let me just. Bless and curse not. So again, it's in your words. It's in your words. You don't curse someone with money. You curse someone in your words, in what you say. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. In 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Can we verse 12 together? And labor or work with our own hands. Being reviled, we what? Being persecuted, we suffer. Can you see? Being reviled, we bless. We bless. That's in their words. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The cup of blessing which we bless, which we speak well of, which we all invoke our benediction on. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, this is about spiritual meetings. About believers meeting. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 16. Else, when you will bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of them, seeing that he doesn't understand what you want? So, that means what I say is the blessing, right? When you bless with the Spirit. That says, he that occupies the room of the unlearned, how will you understand what you said? So my blessing is what I said. Make sense? And in that instance, he was talking about tongues. Because you know, you already said when you speak in tongues, you bless well, right? You give thanks well. Alright. What did I mention? Galatians. So the Galatians? Yes, Galatians. So the 3. So he said he has blessed us. Galatians 3 verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel before Abraham, saying what? In thee shall all the nations of the earth be what? Verse 9. So they which are of faith are what? Are blessed with faithful Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham again? It was Galatians, yeah, in Genesis 15, 6, Abi. Abraham believed God and it was what? The accounting was said, right? For righteousness. So, what God said about him is the blessing of Abraham. And that's the same blessing that is upon every man who is of faith today. The blessing of God, the pronouncement of God that they are righteous. That's the blessing of God. That's the blessing of Abraham. God blessed Abraham. Not with cattle, because we know how Abraham got his cattle. He lied, right? He got half of the, he lied twice to two different kings. And got almost half of their kingdom. There's no way you're not going to be rich. Two kings. Have a fine wife, oh. Just kidding. It's not kidding, really. You need to have a fine husband, too. Right, guys? You need a husband to get half of the kingdom. You can have a husband like me that doesn't have kids. Fine husband. Yes. Not the one that will be telling Galatians. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm stepping on my own toes now. Why is it going to be that you're about that? Alright, so, again, the blessing, he said, set is pronounced. So go back to Ephesians as we try to close. So it says, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has blessed us. So, can we put it like this? We adore God who has spoken well of us. Would that be proper? That is, we adore God, we bless God, we lift Him, we praise Him, we bless Him. Yeah. We adore God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well of us. What did He say? We don't know yet, so we'll read further. But He said, He has spoken well of us in heavenly in Christ. Now, the one place is actually italicized, and I'm going to say it's not there actually. When you find the word italicized, especially in the Bible, it means the translators felt it should be there, probably for more comprehension. Now, Don't get it twisted. Sometimes it's actually fitting well, properly. But sometimes it's actually out of place. And I think I've proven that in some teachings before. Sometimes it fits in properly and I say, fine, thank God it did. But because it's human and then you can't avoid error, this parallax. You always find sometimes it's not there. Because I don't know why you put heavenly places. It takes the idea away from heaven. Because by saying heaven, you have taken it away from the sphere of matter. You have taken it away from where time, space, and
matter.
Yeah. Where time, space, and matter will matter. No pun intended. Alright, so, by saying heaven, the physical is out of place. So, and that's why it's funny when people say we're going to stay on the street of gold. A gold in heaven is not heaven. Heaven is actually the word Epouranos. We're going to see that next week. It means unseen. Where it is unseen. So, by the time you start seeing in the unseen, you see, in the heaven I saw a throne. I saw a river. It's a river. River in the unseen, you're on the earth. Gold is found in the earth. Pastor, I don't think there's no shit of gold. What do you want to do? Hallelujah. The imagery of John has gotten to your head. Epouranos. Literally, unseen. So what is Paul saying? He has blessed us with blessings we cannot see. And if you are truly a Bible student, you count your blessings. And mathematics will make no sense. Because they are unseen. They are unseen. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. Come on. He has blessed us. Hey! He said, blessed be God. We adore Him. Who has blessed us? We are not without His blessings. He has blessed us with spiritual. So is that by saying, these blessings are spiritual? They are not physical. They are not material. They are of the Spirit. What God gave us will be found in the Spirit. We're going to look at this much more during camp meeting. What God gave us will be in the Spirit. Spiritual. Spiritual. In the Spirit. By the Spirit. He has blessed us with heavenly, spiritual blessings. In heavenly. Then he qualifies it in Christ. So Paul's idea of heaven is in Christ. And that will help us to see next week where is heaven. Because we will now have to explain, because we need to know where the blessing is. And if it is in heaven in Christ, then we have to go there. And see what Paul saw. Hallelujah. But till then, he says we are blessed. God has spoken well of us. He has said so much about us. He has said so much about us. Right from Genesis, there will be a people. I will endure them. They will be my people. I shall be their God. They will be my sons and daughters. I shall be like a father. My Israel, my chosen ones, separated from the world, only unto me. He has spoken well of us. Hallelujah. He has spoken well of us. He called us holy. He called us separate. Separate from the world of sin and death. Separate from evil. He has chosen us. He has spoken well of us. Why you are thinking, who am I? What's wrong with me? God is saying, this is my best work. This is my masterpiece. That is efficient. That's efficient. This is my masterpiece. This is my masterpiece. He has spoken well of us. Hallelujah. Yes, there will be a people, they will die no more. He has spoken well of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything he said to the prophets is fulfilled today in his church. He has spoken well of us. He has spoken well of us. We have the best of God. We have the best of God. He has spoken well of us. Blessed be God. We adore Him. Blessed be God. We have blessed Him with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, in Christ. Before you start thinking that He's talking about a car, and He's talking about a wife, and He's talking about a house, a good job. Verse 4. People, we are not there yet. He said He has chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. He's explaining the blessing. What Israel looked forward to is what we have for free. Is what we have for free. So He has chosen us. Verse 5. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Can we read verse 6 and 7? To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of wherein we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin waiting there. He's explained the blessing. We have seen His blood. We have the forgiveness of sin. He has chosen us. He has chosen us. Where did I belong to? Jesus said, you belong to me. You are my masterpiece. You are not without the Father. I will not leave you fatherless. I will come to you. He has chosen us. He called you by name. How about this rings in your head early in the morning? I'm blessed of God. There's nothing this world wants to say that negates what God has said. He has blessed me. Oh no, hey, Daja, you cannot make it. You cannot make it. Hey. We know those kind of people that are doomed for life. But that's not what God is saying. You know what God's statement on your life? He's blessed me. He has blessed you. What is what did not have? What Reuben did not have? What Ishmael did not have? You are the one that took his grace. Right? Isaac was grace, right? Jacob was grace. Joseph was grace. The new creation also got the blessing of God. Hallelujah. That's why the angel said, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man? What is the son? What is he? Because he has chosen us. We have the best of God. In both worlds. In both worlds. Have the best of both worlds. You know, when it comes to the spiritual and the supernatural, we are told. And in the natural, we still have the hand of God. We have the best of both worlds. We are blessed of God. In an evil world, we have forgiveness of sin. In a world of tumult and war, we have the peace of God. We have the best. He has blessed us. Let your mind be at rest. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. You have the best of God. You have the best of God. You are blessed. 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 I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's what God's word says. If God's word says it, I believe it. That searches it. I'm blessed. He has blessed us. Christ in our lives. He has blessed us. Can you pray in the tongues? He has blessed us. At the end of the Sunday, brother, we'd like to see the blessing of God.
All right.